Think Red Ink presents The Questions of Jesus. Profound meditations with author and host Don C. Harris. What did Jesus ask?
Question 51. Mark 5:9. And he asked them, "What is thy name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." Luke 8:30. And Jesus asked him, saying, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Legion," because many devils were entered into him. A person's name means a good deal in most cultures. In the United States, though, we have adulterated the naming process until there is nearly nothing of essence left. Here, we name children names that only sound good or names that conjure up feelings of familiarity or happiness. We scour books and ask opinions of others until we hear a name that strikes us as pleasant, and then we hang that moniker on our unsuspecting child for life. Anyone who has been in a gift store has seen the obtuse plaques and bookmarks and trinkets with ridiculous meanings of names emblazoned on them. They all contain nonsensical platitudes of wonderful character, mostly fabricated in the mind of the publisher, intending to tell us what infinitely great and noble people we all are because of what our parents unwittingly named us. They totally disregard the fact that we were named before anyone knew anything about us, as if we grew into these wonderful names and now somehow exemplify their exquisite meanings. There was a time, however, when names did have real meaning. They were not necessarily names meaning good things. For example, there's a boy in the Bible who was named Ichabod. He was named at a time of severe grief felt by his mother. She heard the news of the deaths of her husband and brother-in-law killed in the war, and that her father-in-law fell dead at receiving the same news, and that the Ark of the Covenant, considered by all to be the very presence of God, was stolen from Israel just as she was giving birth. Upon hearing all this and feeling very much forsaken and very afraid, she named her child Ichabod, which means God has departed. There was also a child who was named Laughter, Isaac. Because of the news of pregnancy at 90-plus years of age made both his parents laugh. Many do not know that when God created man, he said, "Let us create Adam in our image." Adam was named before he was created. Any reader of the Bible will attest that names had deep and meaningful significance in those days. Our thin and superficial American culture robs us of many things we would instinctively understand otherwise. One of the things we've missed is a meaningful name. In Jesus' day, we find men named for how they were known. Simon, one of the disciples, was known as a zealot, thus his name Simon Zelotes. When a given name was common, it was customary to add an outstanding characteristic to the name. Simon the Tanner was obviously a hide tanner or leather worker. There was Simon Barjona, son of Jonas, Simon the Canaanite, Simon the leper, etc. Many names today in our culture and many others were derivations from occupations. Tailor, fuller, mason, carpenter, farmer, smith, sawyer are only a few. Reputation was also a way to name someone. Names ending in man were likely names of reputation. Goodman or Truman would have been coveted names in those days. Some traditions, as this one of naming a child or family with real meaning, find their roots in God's way of doing things. His names were true representations of who we are. One may remember how Jehovah changed Jacob's name, Trickster, to Israel, Prevailer. Jesus changed Simon's name to Peter, Rock. Names are important to God, and we can be sure that we are not now fully aware of the reasons why. My name is Legion, for we are many. If we can realign our thinking to the days when names had meaning, we can understand the word for. He was saying that because we are many, my name is Legion. This spirit entity was given the name Legion because it was many spirits. We can only assume it was named in some other world, a world with which Jesus and this demon spirit were familiar. Jesus was often recognized and identified by beings from an existence outside our own. Jesus asked the demon's name, not so he could call it by name, or because it is proper etiquette, but to know with whom he was dealing. A name from the other world would give him that information, as he obviously knew that names there have true meaning. There are many things we do not know about this situation, one of which is, did Jesus recognize this name when he heard it? Some say, of course he did, asserting that Jesus knew everything. But if this is so, why did he ask his name? One cannot help but believe that he asked because he did not know it and wanted to. He asked and was answered, and from that information, he made his decisions. Although names in our time may be given for superficial reasons or come from frivolous motives, in the world where these two once knew each other, names had meaning. In our world, we say that a man has a good name when he has a good reputation. Perhaps with this connection, we can see how a name and a reputation can be inseparable. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. Proverbs 22:1. If your name actually reflected your character, what would your name be? If others knew the significance of that name, how would that affect your life? Example, if your name were a number, and that number was known to everyone to be equal to your net worth, how would that affect your life, your acquaintances, your pride? Or what if your name were a true and accurate reflection of your unvarnished character, your true but heretofore unseen self? How would that affect your relationship with the world, your family, your church, your meeting? There is a true name that belongs to you, that reflects you as you really are, a name that upon hearing it tells exactly what you are, who you are, and displays your genuine character. One day you will hear that name for the first time as you enter the kingdom of God, which will be physically established on this earth. Though hearing it for the first time, you will know it. It will be a recollection of sorts. It'll be much like a woman married for many years, remembering herself as a youth upon hearing her maiden name used by an old friend from her past. Revelation 2:17. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh, Jesus, will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. You will recognize that name and realize that it fits you perfectly. You'll find that you've grown into that name he gave you. As you become more and more like the person God wants you to be, you're taking on the character that your name describes. You're growing into that name and becoming worthy of it as you advance toward Christ. Do you wonder what it will be? Just as Jesus asked the fallen spirit, "What is thy name?" conversation in the kingdom of God on earth will begin with introductions. We will know with whom we are talking as soon as we hear the name. Perhaps in the reign of Christ, we will hear names given to folks we only thought we knew, and we'll be surprised that they are not who we thought they were at all. This new name, carved in the white stone, will accurately depict and display your service to God, your character, and your value to the kingdom. How will you answer Christ when he sees you and inquires of your name? Will your name reflect the honor and dignity of a faithful and wise steward, or the shame and remorse of a misspent life? Will you say your name in confidence and delight because it shows that you stood as a faithful friend of truth? Or will you have to bow your head in shame, knowing your name reflects lukewarm or cowardly service to God? How will you answer when he asks, "What is your name?"
That's all for this time. You've been listening to Don C. Harris at Think Red Ink Ministries. Do you have questions or comments? We'd like to hear from you. Send an email to don@thinkredink.com. Join us again for the next episode of The Questions of Jesus.